It's been so long since we hijacked Sci-Fi Diner.
This is going to be an interesting evening.
Our last best hope for sci-fi.
Raul Wybera?
Oh, he's been around a lot.
It's in the script.
This is not the Dark Matter podcast.
Jim Arrowwood?
Well, there it is.
No boom today.
There's always boom tomorrow.
I might be able to help with that.
Hello there, Babylon 5 fans.
Though at least there's no hymn singing.
We know what people think.
This is Maggie Egan, your ISN news anchor.
I'm at a loss for words. J.P. Harvey.
You get this warm, fuzzy moment, you know?
Well, he's not playing Zaphis this time either. He's playing Zaphis.
I'm going to withhold comment.
The year is 2019. The place... The Babylon Project Podcast.
Hello there, Babylon 5 fans. Welcome to our next episode of the booming Babylon Project podcast. This is Raul Wybera, and I am joined by my good friends Jim Arrowwood and J.P. Harvey. How are you two guys tonight?
Doing pretty good.
Good here. Waiting for some boom.
Oh, I think we're going to get all the boom you can handle tonight. It's just a booming episode. I'm going to go ahead and just dive on into it. Jim, what episode are we talking about tonight?
Oh, we're looking at movements of fire and shadow.
Okay, and this does not, I presume, refer to a bowl of my wife's chili.
No, this is, wow. we're building up to... We're building up to something big.
And it's not a big bowl of his wife's chili.
No, we've been building up, and it builds up a little more today.
Yeah, well, with my wife's chili, it's not so much... No. I was going to say, I don't want to steal Jakar's stealing Carlin's lines, so... That said, before we descend any further into the depths, Jim, how about a recap?
All right.
Archive. Access. Initiated.
The war with the Centauri is out of control, and the Centauri that are on the station are under threat from nearly everyone else on the station. Reports begin arriving that the Centauri have begun targeting enemy jump gates, something that has never happened before during interstellar conflict. The Centauri have sent a ship rigged to explode and take out the gate near Babylon 5, but the Star Fury pilots manage to take the ship out before it is able to do any major damage. Sheridan orders the White Star Fleet to engage any Centauri ships that are attacking Alliance ships. He also learns that there is no consolidation of forces among the other races. Everyone is fighting separately. Garibaldi has figured out that there seems to be two separate Centauri fleets, one offensive and one defensive, and that there also seem to be no obvious strategy to the way the Centauri are fighting. There is no indication of what their goals are. The Narn suggest that they make a frontal attack against Centauri Prime, but Sheridan disagrees. So the Narn and the Drazi decide to make an attack on their own. When Sheridan learns of this, he tries to stop it, but is too late, and the two forces make a merciless attack against the Centauri homeworld, which is strangely defenseless. Veer explains that the Alliance forces are not returning the bodies of the Centauri dead, as that is one of the key principles of the Alliance. He asks Dr. Franklin and Lita to look into it on the Drazi homeworld. Franklin agrees, but Lita demands a $500,000 credit fee for her help. When they arrive on the planet, They meet up with a doctor that tells them that there are no Centauri bodies there, and that the ones that have been killed on ships are not recoverable. Leta knows that he is lying, and when she confronts him, all are attacked by the Drazi, but they manage to get away. Leta then detects a location in the doctor's mind where there may be Centauri remains. Her and Franklin force the doctor to take them to a warehouse where biological components are being stored. Leta recognizes them as leftover shadow technology that are used to control systems for starships. On Centauri Prime, Londo and Jakar are in a cell when they are suddenly incapacitated and Londo is abducted by aliens. They perform experiments on him and return him to his cell. Neither one seems to remember anything that happened. Londo manages to gain his release from the cell and discovers that the Regent has sent all of the Centauri ships away from the planet and has further disabled the planetary defenses. Londo is forced to watch helplessly as the planet is laid waste at the hands of the Narn and Drazi. With so many of the White Star ships being destroyed, Sheridan worries that they will run out of ships before the end of the conflict. He sends Delenn and Lanier to Minbar, where they will design a new class of White Star ships, with the Minbari supplying the labor and materials while Earth provides the funding. As they approach Minbar, the White Star is attacked and disabled. With most of the crew dead, Delenn and Lanier are left adrift in hyperspace. Well, there it is.
Yeah, that was definitely a stack of boom.
Yes.
Character files opened.
Whew. I guess we ought to do some guest cast. Pretty much everyone's been in the show, though, at some point or another. But after that background, it almost makes you want to just dive straight into the episode.
No, we need a stack of guest cast to accompany the stack of boom.
Yeah, we got a stack of guest cast, too. Wayne Alexander is back as the Drock. His 10th of 12 appearances on the show. Josh Clark puts in his only appearance on Babylon 5. He will be in Crusade. He was on one episode of Star Trek Next Generation and several episodes of Voyager. And his character was named Joe Corey. He was a nice guy. Everybody liked him. And he was also on Westworld as Sheriff Reed.
He was in Heroes, too, I thought. And I know I saw him in an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, well, that could be.
This is a guy you've seen, we've definitely seen around.
Yeah, he's been around. Although you won't recognize him on this episode, because he's in a lot of makeup. All right, Damian London puts in his 8th of 9 appearances on the show. This time as Regent. Thomas McGreevy returns as Minister. That's our beady-eyed defense minister. His last of 3 appearances on the show. Bart McCarthy as Daro, or the Drazi General. His last of 2 appearances on Babylon 5. The first was as Shy Elite Shakiri in Moments of Transition. Yep, Robin Sachs comes back tonight as Natok, his 5th of 6 appearances on the show. And under featuring, we have Neil Bradley as Dr. Litterana Varda, a Drazi doctor, and this is his 8th of 9 appearances on the show, and that is the guest cast.
You know, one thing that this list really points out nicely, it's amazing how many people would come back for a few minutes, you know, an episode here, an episode there, across the entire 5 years.
It's also pretty amazing how many people are going to be out of a gig pretty soon.
Yeah. It's ominous when we hear that the Regent is in his 8th of 9. You know stuff's about to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Actually, that's kind of one of the saddest parts of this episode. And we'll definitely be getting to that before it's over.
Initiating plot analysis.
You know, Joe Straczynski's got this thing about opening monologues. And thank heaven he does, because it sure makes it a lot easier for us as far as setting up the episode. So with that said, play it, Jim.
Personal journal, Captain Elizabeth Lockley, addendum. The Centauri War continues to spiral out of control. The threat of retaliation has already reached Babylon 5. Over a half dozen Centauri have been murdered in just the last 3 days.
50 cc's of hydromorphosine, Medlab 2, let's move. Go, go. Franklin, go.
Got another one in Red 4.
Yeah, I'm right there.
In an attempt to reduce the number of casualties, I've doubled security on every level.
Here, excuse me, pardon me.
It hasn't helped.
All right. Let's get into Medlab 2, all right? Everybody clear on out. Move on out of the way.
If this continues, we may have no choice but to quarantine the Centauri. We'll have to try and limit them to parts of the station where they won't run into anyone they're currently at war with. Unfortunately, that seems to be just about everyone right now. So, my options seem to be somewhat limited.
Sounds like Lockley is having a rough week.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of people are having a rough week.
And some are about to have some rougher weeks.
Yeah, especially the Drazi. Was it me, or did that look like it was mighty one-sided between the Centauri and Drazi there for a moment?
Oh, yeah.
But Lockley doesn't even get a good night's sleep, because Sheridan is dashing in and waking her up in the middle of the night.
She was already up.
Was she up?
Well, yeah. She was walking around, I assume, with a cup of coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning is what she said.
Yeah, apparently the Centauri are targeting the jump gates, which is sort of like using mustard gas would be for us today, a violation of civilized war.
Well, according to Lockley's comment, it's akin to barbarism.
Yeah. Sheridan warns her that they might be targeting Babylon 5, and she's just kind of wondering, I said, well, we're holding the station itself is remaining neutral territory. And Sheridan's like, well, yeah, up until the White Stars are called in to attack, which I just did. So,
and the neutral territory thing doesn't matter at this point. If the Centauri and the Alliance are at war and the leadership of the Alliance is seated on Babylon 5, that makes that a target.
Yep.
Well, we have to remember who's running the Centauri. I don't know how they would conduct war under normal circumstances, but under the Drak, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens, and that's tough. So if the jump gates go away, the Drak don't care.
Well, I think that attacking the jump gates is an indicator that something, another one of these hints, something is wrong. This isn't, you know, Londo knows it like we talked about last time. He can't put his finger on it. He can't explain it. Well, here's, and we know that, you know, some of our friends on Babylon 5 know something is wrong and that Londo probably shouldn't be held responsible, but he's the representative of his government. Now we have Centauri attacking jump gates. Another big hint, something is not right.
Well, it won't be long before we find out exactly what the Drak have in mind for their agenda.
We won't, but, you know, thinking about it, I don't know that Sheridan and DeLynn ever do find out until, I mean, long after events have occurred.
No, as a matter of fact, they don't. But we at least do.
Yeah. Well, they'll find out when Sheridan goes back in time and DeLynn's captured, but
yeah, because so far it just seems like they've sicked the Centauri on everybody, and with no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, and it's starting to bleed into Alliance's resources. Sheridan needs some help from Delenn, and it's something she doesn't want to do, and it apparently does not involve lingerie. couple of humorous points in the show. Basically, they're going to be running out of White Stars at some point. Attrition is starting to make itself felt.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't just want more White Stars. He wants a better class of White Star ship. So he's got a very interesting proposal. Get some help from Earth to provide some of the funding and the building. The Mimbari provides some of the technology and create a new class of warship.
Yeah, a destroyer class, he says.
Yep.
Kind of cool.
But, kind of a setup for Crusade, actually.
So instead of small plucked chickens, we're going to have some very large plucked chickens.
Or what almost looks like a big umbrella. Yeah, the catch is this is absolute top secret, no written or transmitted communications. He needs her to go there in person.
Right.
And we find out Luchenko is still president. She was, originally she was interim. So, yay.
So either still interim or she became, you know, what would you call it? Fully elected? Officially elected?
Yep. Officially elected. Just out of pure bias, I'm going to go with the latter. So Delenn is going to be leaving. Other people are going to be leaving the station as well. Veer is, shall we say, a little stressed.
Yeah.
He wants some help from Franklin and Lita. Now, here's something I found inconsistent. Most of the Centauri losses are coming from the Drazi. Now, from that initial combat we saw at the beginning, our first bit of boom, I didn't see many Drazi ships doing much damage to the Centauri at that point. But
it's in the script.
What? Right.
It just wasn't that battle.
Well, yeah. we're also just seeing one side of the battle, and it actually, the script kind of does give some explanation. Going on a little later, but the Drazi aren't returning bodies, which is supposed to be part of the agreement. The Centauri are, you know, they're not returning the dead, and they're being really suspicious apparently about the refusal. So he's wanting the two of them, since it's a medical issue, you know, use Franklin and Lita is a pretty good telepath,
mm-hmm.
and he knows those two have worked before, so please, can you do something to help?
Yeah, and Veer is asking an awful lot here.
Yeah,
it's a dangerous mission.
As a representative of the hostile force, you know, he's asking an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that he even has official sanction from his homeworld for this. This may very well be Veer being
there. Veer. There are no communications between Centauri Prime and Babylon 5. Right. However, Lita is fundraising.
Yeah, she wants $500,000 credits for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, I'm going to, two comments on it. One, she's obviously been much more mercenary about things lately.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you know, Franklin, this does kind of relate to his position. You know, it's something that's within the scope of his office, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Lita's a freelance telepath, not part of the Psi Corps in any way at this point. It's, you know, going into hostile territory. We know how dangerous it is taking those kinds of risks. You know, a job you might not come back for. Yeah, I can see you're asking for. I can see you're asking for a stipend. Yeah,
it reinforces her being the follow-on leadership to Byron too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what she's asking for all that money for. She's fundraising for the rogue telepaths. And you know what?
There's ships, there's supplies, you know.
Yeah, well, that's not all.
All have to be arranged.
Later on down the road, we find out that some of this fundraising she's doing is going towards some shady deals.
Yeah. Hardly a surprise, but yeah. Veer's a little shocked, surprised, whatever.
Well, Franklin is too. He just kind of, oh, say what?
He almost seems amused by it, though, isn't it? Not Veer, but Franklin.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? 500?
This is a different Lita.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, and on top of it, during the Shadow War, I'm sorry, in some ways, they were kind of taking advantage of her. She was not part of the command staff. She was not part of the military. So, you know, like I said, and for the scale of what she was doing, I think she's justified.
Mm. Well, in any case, she's not taking installments either. The entire amount is to be paid in advance.
Ooh, I missed that, but you know what? I think you're right.
Yeah, because Veer said, you know, I can come up with maybe 400,000, and she said, nope, 500,000, not a credit less. And here's a card to with the account number to upload it.
Yeah, I'll be in my room or wherever she says. Call me when it's done.
Call me when you decide. Yep. Meanwhile, Centauri Prime, Londo is still in jail. Apparently, he's working this plan about, oh, gee, the prime minister's in prison, popular uprising.
And it's only going to take about 3 days. According to him, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Jakar tells him he has picked a strange moment to develop principles, because this is all because of the principle of the thing.
Yeah. You know, and I think Lando's making one big assumption. He's assuming that the public will even know he is in jail. At this point, that might be a bit of a stretch.
It is a stretch.
And the guy that's got him jailed has sequestered the regent from him, maybe from everybody.
And Veer.
Has sequestered Veer from Londo. Right, so why would anybody assume that? If he can do that and not have the other ministers or the staff rebel...
It's not going to make the evening news.
Yeah, Londo's plan is a little leaky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know that old saying, when you see that, when you're coming out of the tunnel and see the bright lights, make sure it's not a train.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Londo's on the wrong side of that, because in the middle of it, we get our bright lights moment. Shh. And Londo is taken. And hopefully no one was fed after midnight.
Okay. All right. Okay. This is not the Gremlins podcast. And you are not a Mogwai. So let's move on with the Babylon Project podcast.
Yes. Do you remember those aliens?
Yeah. But you know what? I will sheepishly admit that I don't remember where we saw them before. Was it Garibaldi?
We saw them. I think with that, we saw them with the episode with the telepaths. Being prepped for CPUs. I believe we saw them with, you know, like, as you say, Garibaldi, and with Sheridan's second wife. Delenn's number three, it turns out. We've got those aliens working with the Drak as well. And that's an interesting scan as far as their technology is concerned. Which makes me scratch my head. Crazy high-tech fluoroscopic scan that just lets you see right through the body into the bone structure. And they still pull back to old-fashioned
and
drills.
A drill, right?
Yeah.
And a drill.
And the size of that drill bit, that was a 3/4-inch hole that thing was going to make. I can't imagine if that's actually what its intention was.
I have no idea, but all we know is he's being prepped for something. Well, we do know. I mean, the rest of the story that, you know, people in the story don't, but we do know, or at least can make a pretty good idea of what he's being prepped for.
I thought they were just cleaning out his sinuses.
Hey, I just thought he was getting an examination because then the Drock says he's sufficient.
Yep. Whatever it is, we don't know because the next moment he wakes up in the cell with Jakar.
And this is one of those did it really happen moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost like it's a dream. But Lando has almost a state of panic. He's definitely sensing something is not right.
Yeah.
So he's now at the point of he's got to get out of the cell. And this is where that George Carlin moment that I mentioned comes from.
You were having a nightmare.
Yes. Terrible. What time is it?
Morning. I woke up when I thought I heard the expected angry mob coming to storm the palace on your behalf. But it was just you. Did you know that you snore?
I have to get out of here.
Yes, that's what I've been saying for some time now.
No, I have to get out of here now. I have this feeling. Something is terribly wrong.
You're at war with everyone in the known universe. Perhaps you were thinking of that.
No, more than that. I have to get out. But I have to be sure I save face. I said I would stay with you until they released you. So, how can I?
Leave it to me.
What are you doing?
Shh. I have to concentrate.
Concentrate on what?
Last night's supper.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Wait, wait, wait. There has to be another way. Wait! Oh, thank you! Who knew they could make such a... Great maker, I don't even want to think about it. I couldn't stay in there a moment longer. And the smell was not the worst of it. It was the burning in my arches. I think my buttons are melting.
Ah! Oh, man.
And we all know what Jakar eats on Centauri Prime.
The most tasty of dishes.
Unaged spoo.
Raw spoo, yeah. Oh, gosh, it must be bad.
So we went from spoo to spew, so.
Yeah. No, that was that last line there. I just cracked up laughing when I heard it because it was one of my favorite George Carlin shticks.
Oh, yeah.
He's baseball and football is one of them, one of my favorites. And, it's not the smell, it's the burning in the eyes. Anyway, let's get away from Centauri Prime for a bit and let the stench dissipate and go back to Babylon 5. Sheridan is having a meeting of the generals, and it's kind of funny. They're on the one hand, thanking him about and telling him how much of a huge help the White Stars are.
But we're going to do this on our own from now on.
Yeah, they think they can handle everything on their own.
What's the line, right?
Yeah.
He admonishes them to work together, and they say, we are working together in our own individual ways.
It's
like, yeah.
What? Right.
It's not much of an alliance.
No.
Not much at all. And Sheridan's trying to get to the bottom of the Centauri strategy because, as you've said, there doesn't seem to be any. And he makes this comment that it's, or the comment is brought up, not necessarily by him, that it's like it's almost two separate fleets, an offensive fleet and a defensive fleet.
Mm-hmm.
Like two separate types of strategies. In the meantime, like you said, Jim, everyone wants to be off on their own. The Narn are definitely wanting to be, shall we say, a little bit more aggressive. In fact, the League wants revenge on Centauri, whereas Sheridan is focusing on military targets.
Yeah. You know, and after that speech he gave in the last episode, you'd think that people would be thinking a little differently, but nope, they're steadfast in wanting to be part of the Alliance as long as it agrees with what they want to do.
Yeah.
This is not an organization I would want to be in charge of.
No, it's more like the old League of Nations than the United Nations.
And I think Sheridan's quietly wishing he wasn't in charge either at this point.
Yeah, I could sure understand.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. And this whole scene...
And the Drazi kind of sums it up. You know, well, we've been attacked. Now we want to attack them. We want our revenge.
Mm-hmm. And while this is all going on, Lockley gets called away to CNC where they find out about a lone cruiser heading to Babylon 5, unmanned. And they figure out, oh, crap, they are trying to blow the jump gates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they knew that was a possibility that had already come up. Now they're watching. Well, there was no details given on how they would destroy jump gates. So now they've got this inbound ship, and then they determine it's unmanned. And it occurs to her as she's watching these events unfold quickly that that's what this is a basically an unmanned bomb to take out the jump gate right there at B5.
Fire up the jump engines inside the jump gate. You know, we saw that we saw this methodology used on a unused, completely forgotten jump gate. When Sheridan took out Shadow Vessel.
Right. But in any case, they get it. They get that Centauri ship destroyed just in time.
Mm-hmm.
And it does cause some damage to the gate. It's going to be down for a while, but at least it's not out.
Just a few days.
Yeah.
Right. And it sounds like while all this is going on, the League generals have got their idea, and they're taking matters into their own hands.
Yeah.
And actually a little together, right?
Yeah. Well, the Narn aren't capable of going in alone, so they want to throw in with the Drazi.
Yeah.
And the Drazi are okay with this as long because the Narn have their same agenda. So, hey, yeah, you know, you can come too.
It's convenient.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Everything with that alliance seems to be focused on what's convenient for them.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what's convenient rather than maybe what's right. We've heard it before.
Right. While Sheridan fills Delenn on what's going on, which gives us a nice segue to the Drazi homeworld with Franklin and Lita. You know, once her fee is paid, You know, let's face it, she used to be a commercial telepath, so hey.
Mm-hmm.
Once her fee is paid, she's back to good old Lita. Franklin and her's banter, kind of reminiscent of Mars, I think, in some respects, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and play it.
The other way, maybe it would...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Why don't you just ask someone?
No, I got a map.
Is this
a
man? Excuse me. Are you sure you know where we're going?
Yeah, it's the same hotel that Michael stayed at. Said the room service is good, and the food is cheap, and the staff is friendly.
Meaning the food stinks, the rooms are small, and the staff will knife you in the back when you're not looking.
Exactly. All right, I think it's that way.
Oh.
Well, now, don't worry, all right? I mean, we only have a few hours before our contact. You got that? Let's go.
Like a married couple. Do you know where we are? Yeah, I know where we are. Are you sure? Have you looked at the map? I'm good. I got it.
Yeah, why don't you ask somebody?
No, I know where we're going.
Yep.
Well, we know in 300 years some things aren't changing. But as funny as the banter is, it's got a little bit of an ominous end to it because is it me or does it look like they're being followed?
Oh, they're definitely being followed.
Mm-hmm.
A strange-looking Drazi.
Centauri Prime Lando is out. His eyes aren't burning so much anymore. And he is trying to build some sort of support, dangerous support, to move against the Regent.
There's just one problem.
No one wants to?
No. He picked that beady-eyed SOB to help him, and that guy is, hey, he's in charge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that minister makes it absolutely clear he has only been engaging in defensive actions.
Yeah, pigeon crap.
Mm-hmm. I say spoo.
Well, here's the question. Does he know what's going on or not? I mean, the full story of what's going on.
Well, that's kind of like the question last week, even though we were all in agreement he doesn't have a keeper. But is he really this dumb, or is he really that much of a party line guy that he will blind himself to the evidence, or does he have a keeper? And I still don't think he has a keeper. But I don't. This guy is either a complete idiot, or he is so drunk with power tied to I'll sing the song I'm supposed to sing, no matter what. He's horribly dangerous.
He's ignoring.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's ignoring intentionally is what you're saying.
Yeah, and this is where we find out he is actually the defense minister. Now, are the other three guys in there, are they ministers of other ministries?
Presumably.
Either his deputies or other, other departments.
I'm going to guess other ministries.
Yeah. Other ministries. So in other words, they let him do all the talking, and when he turns around to walk out, the three of them follow him. So
right.
So we're seeing that there's only, I think the way it is the defense minister is the only person who has access to the regent. And the reason for that is because he will just blindly do whatever he's told, and everybody is following his lead because they don't know any better.
And if you don't have the support of the Ministry of Defense, you are not going to be able to pull off a successful coup.
No. And Lando is not trying to overthrow anybody or do anything like that. He's going about the way it is supposed to be done on Centauri Prime. If you get enough of a majority that disagrees with the Emperor, apparently he can be overridden. But if you try to do that alone,
then it's just treason.
Well,
and the other thing at play here, it doesn't play itself out, but is the defense minister knows that Lando is in line to take the throne. And like I mentioned last time, is he actually so sinister or so bold or both that he's trying to derail Lando in some attempt or effort maybe to get himself ultimately on? None of this is really explained, but the kind of personality that would be doing the things that he's doing, it wouldn't surprise me that he would also be trying to discredit Lando.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want Mallari to be the emperor, Well, I'm going to do these things to ruin him. Well, what's your plan if it's not Mallari? I don't know. I don't have one, but I don't want that guy to be.
Well, maybe he's ambitious enough to think that he can actually ascend.
Mm-hmm.
So
in any case, the guy doesn't seem to, of course we know the Drock is pulling all the strings.
Right.
Right.
And keeping the regent out of touch, the Drock are allowing this guy to speak for them.
Right. Allowing, so long as he is saying the right things. And he doesn't care. He's got his power. Mallari is a threat to it, so.
Yeah, he's just a robot.
Leave him hanging.
He's just a robot.
Yeah. Sheridan gets some bad news from Mike, who's not drunk for once. In fact, I don't think he's drunk in this episode.
Yeah, he's been sober since the first time we saw him during the meeting of generals.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he's not drunk to the point of being passed out, but You know, he's nipping every now and then.
Yeah.
Off camera, so.
Well, a third of the Narn and a third of the Drazi fleets are missing. Sheridan adds 1 + 1 to get 2, and he is honked off. He's going to assemble the White Star fleet, and he's on his way to Centauri Prime. He's going to do an intercept.
Yeah. He's got to head for a Centauri Prime, and Mike says, well, we got to get proof. Or no, he said, we've got to have proof. Sheridan said, we got to have proof. And Mike says, there is no time for proof here. They are on their way.
Yeah, attack imminent.
So you got to get moving. So he's going to get moving.
Right. We're going to do a little more shuffling around. Franklin gets a visit from the doctor, from one of the medical officials, at least, on the Drazi homeworld. Sounds like through pulling Franklin, pulling his rank. And apparently, we learned two things. There's no bodies, just an ambush, and you don't mess with Lita.
Yeah,
a sweaty, angry Lita is a dangerous Lita.
Yeah, and she's pretty, and she proves herself more or less worth the price.
Mm-hmm. If you want to call taking over someone's mind and having them shoot themselves in the head worth the price, yeah. And she also more or less rips the truth versus the untruth out of the Drazi medical officer's head. As far as lying, and wants to see whatever it is.
Yeah, we don't know what she sees, but she gets it. We know that she gets it, and then she says, "Take me there now." And then we're left wondering, what did she get?
And staggering back and forth between everything is, I mean, it's like that, and this with Sheridan and the stuff on Centauri are kind of all rushing to a head together. So we're popping back and forth between the different parts.
Mm-hmm.
Sheridan is on the way. And I'm sorry. The call outs on the command deck, as far as, you know, powering everything up, I almost had you get the quote just so we could have a laugh on it, but I'm sorry. I was waiting for someone to say atomic batteries to power turbines to speed.
No.
But we're not the Batman podcast.
No.
Delenn is ambushed by the Centauri in hyperspace. Not a good place to be.
And that ship is a mess.
Yeah. White Star is impressive. A single White Star against that much other firepower, not so impressive.
Well, especially when you're ambushed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this was a flat-out ambush. On the Drazi homeworld, Lita is really, really honked.
Yeah. Well, she's been paid a lot to be that way.
Yeah. We hear an old familiar screech we haven't heard in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow Tech. And not just Shadow Tech, but Lita seems to know what it is.
Yeah. Because it looks like pods from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It does. Yep.
Almost is actually what they are, in fact. They grab one of those pods and bail.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes us back to Centauri Prime with one of the two saddest moments in the series. One of the three saddest moments of the series. We'll get the second one in a few minutes, and we will get one of the saddest in a couple of episodes, but the Regent's visit. Play it for us, sir.
Hello, Mollari.
Regent?
I told you we would speak again before the end. I always try to keep my promises, especially to those who have been kind to me, as you have been.
It is no burden. Regent, I've been trying to see you for some time. Our ships...
Yes. I know.
Then you gave the order.
after a fashion. I have always tried to do the right thing, you know. When circumstances allowed.
Yes, we all do, Regent.
Yes. And now it is your time. Mine is almost over. I have to say, I'll be glad of it. I'm so tired of it all, Londo. I'm glad I won't live to see what follows.
Why? What is going to follow?
So that after a fashion statement comes up again. We've heard that before.
Yeah, a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
The most ominous thing about this is that the regent has gone from saying things like enjoy, you know, your last time, bit of time in of freedom, and leaving Londo wondering what the heck he's talking about, to the statement he makes here, and now is your time.
And, like, that,
and Londo still has no idea.
Mm-mm.
No, but it's heartbreaking. The regent's gone to this from deciding on what shade of lavender.
Yeah. Well, you know, this was the most harmless person in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's one of the most dangerous people in the galaxy, and it isn't even because of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because actually, in truth, he himself isn't dangerous at all.
No, and he is looking forward to dying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mean puppet.
I will be glad when it's over.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I won't live to see it.
Yeah. Oof. And what do we say in the cast thing at the beginning? He is in episode 8 of 9.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So he just told us he's done. But wow. I mean, we're coming. This whole storyline, which has got multiple threads, is coming to a head.
Yeah.
Yep. And the key to it all, the linchpin of how all of these different threads pulls together, is in the very next scene. Franklin and Lita piece most of what's going on all together. The part obviously they don't piece together is the Drac, but let's go ahead and play that explanation.
What do you mean there weren't any crew aboard?
Garibaldi said that there were two separate Centauri fleets engaged in the war.
One defensive, one offensive. But no one in the Centauri military knew anything about the attacks, only that they were defending themselves against us. Now we know why.
This isn't making sense.
This is leftover shadow technology, Mr. President. The Vorlons gave me information on them in case I ever ran across one, and I understand a few years ago one was found by the Psi Corps. It's an organic device used to control a ship from a long distance. You put two or three of these on board a starship, and you don't even need a crew.
Well, then how the hell did the Centauri get their hands on them?
Well, that's the real question. Now, we know that a lot of aliens who worked for the Shadows got away with a lot of their technology. How much, we don't know.
But it's possible that one of these races sold the stuff to the Centauri. With the cooperation of a few others in charge of the military, the Regent could run an offensive war without anyone in the military knowing anything about it.
But there's another possibility. A third party could use these devices to set up the Centauri, who turn everyone against them.
And the Drazi, they wouldn't tell anybody about these things. They've always competed with the Centauri for trade. A war would be in their best interest. Besides, this is pretty advanced technology. If they told the Alliance, they'd have to turn over the devices for study.
And meanwhile, the attacks go on.
Of course. Of course! That's why we couldn't figure out a strategy behind the random attacks. We couldn't see a goal because there was no goal. There was no strategy beyond alienating everyone in the Alliance, turn them against the Centauri so they'd attack! Listen, all the White Stars in your area are out. Can you get out of there in one piece? Good. Get a hold of Garibaldi, if you can. Tell him he has to keep trying to reach the Drazi and Narn fleets. Now, they are jamming us, but he has to get through to them before it's too late. Give me everything you've got! There's several million people riding on this.
And actually, Franklin and Lita are both right. Someone is controlling the Centauri, and someone is trying to set up, a third party is trying to set up the Centauri. So it really is two separate fleets. One fleet that no one knows about, that was built and operating using shadow tech. So, yeah, I think Lita earned her 500,000 credits.
Now can they put that info to use in time?
Well, that's all a matter of whether or not Mike can get through to the Narn Andrazi. Yeah. Though, even then, are they going to listen? They might be willing to listen after.
Yeah, well, maybe. But right now, they're out for blood. That's all they want.
Yep.
They want their
They
want their pound of flesh, and they're going to do whatever they have to do to get that. And damn the regrets. They'll worry about that later.
Yeah, actually, pretty much everyone seems to be, except Sheridan, seems to be focused on revenge, because that's what the Draka is all about.
Not all.
Hmm?
Not all. But we'll find out more about that next time.
Okay. As you said, there's not much left of Delenn's White Star. Lanier's leg is broken, and most of the crew is dead.
Yeah, it's a heck of a mess. And what does Delenn say? This is bad. Well, no kidding. What was your first clue?
Captain Obvious.
It was probably one of the worst lines in all of history. This is bad.
Yeah, huge understatement. White Star's banged up. Lanier's yep. leg is broken. Jump engines are offline. Can't tell if the distress signal is working. What do you say, Delenn? Oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
Yep. Jakar is back to riding again.
Yeah, and he looks inspired.
Mm-hmm. And usually this comes at us in a way that's kind of doing a wrap-up, to sort of close out.
Mm-hmm.
Except we get that second really sad part from the Regent.
Yeah.
Let's play.
It's going to be a pretty night. The last one I will ever see.
You shouldn't talk that way, Regent. You still have many years ahead of you. That's why it's important to recall the ships. We can still make peace.
Oh, there will be peace. For a while. It never lasts, really. They said so. They said both things, actually. That there will be peace and that it won't last. They also said I would be dead by morning. And that tomorrow you will be emperor. They said many, many things. Things I didn't want to hear. Things I didn't understand. And things I didn't want to understand.
They. Who are they, Regent?
Oh, you will find out for yourself soon enough, Londo. You shouldn't rush your last free hours. And there was something else they told me to do. And I did it just a few moments before I came to see you. The last thing I will ever have to do for them. And in a way, I'm glad it's over.
What did they ask you to do?
To send away all the ships guarding Centauri Prime. On a false emergency, and turn off the planetary defense network.
No!
I think I'll stay and watch from here. The sky should be lighting up any time now. I imagine it will be quite beautiful.
No!
So, We've got an Emperor Nero here.
That leaves the entire planet completely vulnerable just in time for the Narn Andrazi.
Mm-hmm.
And we get something we really don't see very often in Babylon 5. An actual cliffhanger ending.
Right?
Yeah.
It ends with the Narn Andrazi fleets lighting up the sky.
Yep. White stars are too late. There is no defense. And the Centauri are a bunch of fish in a barrel.
Yep.
Yeah.
The beautiful sight that the Regent enjoys are those flowers of jump points opening all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we start with Boom. We have Boom in the middle, and we end with some massive Boom.
And more to come.
Yeah, given the cliffhanger, we're gonna see some more.
Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the end of Movements of Fire and Shadow. Final thoughts, gentlemen?
It's quite an episode. Was that Jim?
I said it's quite an episode.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Heavy.
You know, this series has this habit of wrapping up on these massive roller coaster rides. Roller coasters of action as well as momentum and plot. And season 5, finishing up the story, is no exception to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've gotten, I was thinking this afternoon after I rewatched this episode that it seems almost like we have two season fives, because we have the Byron stuff in the first dozen episodes or whatever.
Correct.
And that seems disjointed, that first bunch of episodes. And now this half of the season seems to be more like what we got used to in seasons 1 through 4.
I would tend to agree with that. In fact, I think part of that, Jim, might be Straczynski trying to write his way initially around the Byron Lita story without Susan Ivanova.
Mm.
Because if you remember, Ivanova was going to play a role in that as well. Lita was going to be a little more secondary background in the initial parts of the story and kind of move into the role that she is in now.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I guess in one respect, you could, and I think Straczynski has used this as his own defense of the first half, that you kind of had to go through Byron to get Lita to the point that she could be here.
Right. So, and that's, you know, she's, as we say, she's become very mercenary. She's demanding high prices for things to fund the leftover rogue telepaths. And we see how that developed in the first part of the season.
Right.
And that's legit. But as you mentioned, Jim, that also may be a public way to cover up some other more sinister things that she's up to. Sinister may not be the right word. But...
Oh, it's definitely sinister. As a matter of fact, she's going to get called on the carpet for it in a couple of episodes. Or at least they're going to try to call her onto the carpet.
Yeah.
Not this episode, but the next two will kind of be focusing on Lita, actually.
Mm-hmm.
At least parts of the story will be focusing on Lita.
Yeah, but first, we've got to get through our next episode.
Which is?
Right, and what we'll be talking about next time.
The Fall of Centauri Prime.
Oh, boy.
Between the weapons of the Alliance and the threats of the Drak, the fate of Centauri Prime is decided. Delenn and Lanier are stranded in hyperspace.
Yep.
As I recall, this is setting up some things that are going to play out in one or more of the movies.
Yeah. We're going to get a lot of answers about what's going on with the Drak for one thing,
mm-hmm.
and why they're doing what they're doing. And I think it's going to be a very interesting discussion.
Yeah,
I think it will. I think it will be very much so.
But are
we've
do you
only got? Can you believe it? We've only got 4 episodes left.
Yeah,
Fall of Centauri Prime, the two telepath focused episodes, and then the series closer.
Yeah, we get Boom right up to the end. Did we have any Boom in this episode?
Oh, I already said we had Boom at the beginning, we had Boom at the middle, and we had Boom at the end. It was truly Boom, 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 Boom.
What about the next episode? Are we going to get Boom in the next one or tomorrow?
Don't ask me, ask JP.
I say yes. There's always Boom in the next episode. Or tomorrow.
Always Boom.
Oh, especially when we see all of the Drazi and Narn opening fire.
Right? It's going to be spectacular.
So, yep.
So we had Boom today, we're going to have Boom tomorrow, and we're going to have Boom coming up many times.
After. There's 4 episodes left, but a lot of Boom to go. So, well, I think on that happy note, or less than happy note, I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight, everybody.
All right. Well, goodnight. Thanks for tuning in. Say goodnight, JP.
Goodnight, JP.
Podcast terminated. Thank you for listening to the Babylon Project podcast. You can email Raul and Jim at the Babylon Project podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Babylon Project Podcast. On the internet, we are at babylonprojectpodcast.wordpress.com. To subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, or you can subscribe to the RSS feed on the webpage.